Manitoba, that was Kalena from their CD Seam and Screaming Babas. Dobrý večer, šanovní rádio sluchači, ta vítaju vás všich na rádio передачу Náš holos, rádio Krínskoho Koríňa, která podíjací vám, jak zvyčajno, що субота о 6 годині на багатомовній радіостанції AM1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina and I am delighted to be your host today. We have a great show lined up for you. We've got news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today as well. We have Ukrainian Jewish heritage and the story of a town called Dubno. As well, we have a statement by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Rob Nicholson, on Canada's latest military aid to Ukraine. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is the Ukrainians from Leeds, England, and the title track from their CD, Diaspora.
Ми, браття, козаки, браття, сестри козацького роду,
у старці живе Україна, крові мої, Україна, діаспора, діаспора. Діаспора, діаспора, діаспора. Покажем, що ми нові козаки, іноземці козацького роду, ми всі твої, Україно, і всі твої, Україно, діаспора, 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 діаспора.
To the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for over 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing arts and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Hollis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, visit ShevchenkoFoundation.com.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Hi, I'm Vincent Reese from Edmonton's Cobblestone Freeway Cultural Tours with exciting news. Our 2015 tours are up and ready to go. Join us for a unique cultural tour. We have trips to Eastern Europe, including Western Ukraine, Hungary, and Croatia. Plus, we're going to Costa Rica, Brazil, and Argentina. So visit our website for photos and details. Cobblestone Freeway, we're in Edmonton and ready to go. So book today. Visit cobblestonefreeway.ca.
Золотий ювілей української культури в Паркланд-околиці. Канадський національний український фестиваль «Дофін Манітоба» відбудеться від 31 липня по 2 серпня. Святкуйте 50 неймовірних років української культури з музикою і танцями гуртів з усієї Канади та України. Якщо ви ніколи не були в фестивалі або не були тут роками, прошу розгляньте це запрошення. За квитками контактуйтеся по телефону 1-877-474-2683 або по інтернету cnuf.ca. Ласкаво просимо!
In Alberta, that was Migrena from their CD Beauty is Not Contagious and Karta. Up next is Volin from Ukraine and Yazh Tebe Halyu.
Hey, look!
Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
The city of Dubno is located in the Rivne Oblast, or province, in western Ukraine. It sits on the bank of the Ikva River. The current population is around 38,000. Dubno was first mentioned in a chronicle dated 1099, although it is thought to be even older. In the story of the passing years, the monk Nestor wrote of ancient Slavic tribes called Volinians living in Dubno. In the early 14th century, it was annexed by Poland and became a royal stronghold guarding that country's eastern border. Dubno was the site of a renowned castle built by the Ostrowski family. In the 15th and 16th centuries, the castle became a modern fortress, one of the strongest in the area. The castle stood until it was destroyed in 1915 during World War I. Granted city rights in 1498, the town attracted many foreign settlers, most notably Jewish and Armenian. The Jewish community of Dubno is first mentioned in documents of 1532 in connection with the ownership of cattle. The oldest tombstone inscription in a Jewish cemetery dates from 1581. During the Khmelnytsky uprising of 1648, Dubno Castle was a scene of heavy fighting. Some of it was described by Mykola Hohol in the novel Taras Bulba. Most of the 2,000 Jews in Dubno perished in the uprising. Following tradition, the graves of the martyrs were located near the eastern wall of the Great Synagogue, where it was customary to mourn them on the fast of Tisha B'Av. The Jewish community was reestablished, and by the beginning of the 18th century, Dubno had become the largest Jewish community in the Volhynia region. In 1794, the Great Synagogue was completed. From that year until 1819, three Jewish presses operated in the town, until closed due to a fire. Jewish life in Dubno continued to flourish. In 1897, over 7,000 Jews were living in Dubno, about half the town's population. The main source of income for the Jewish community was commerce. Most of the local industrial and commercial enterprises belonged to Jews. The town had a Jewish hospital, several Jewish schools, Hasidic prayer halls, and other institutions. In the 20th century, progress came to a grinding halt. During World War I, the city changed hands a number of times and suffered extensive damage. There was extreme economic hardship as well as pogroms between 1917 and 1919. In the 1920s, Jewish economic life was revived with the help from America. Local commerce was reestablished, along with schools, an orphanage, a kindergarten, and a hospital. It didn't last long. In 1939, the Soviet Union annexed Dubno under the infamous Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact. Soviet authorities immediately liquidated Jewish community institutions. They made all political parties illegal. They transferred Jewish welfare institutions to the municipality and allowed only one Jewish activity, the public kitchen, for refugees from the West. All Jewish economic enterprises and buildings were nationalized. Jewish leaders were arrested. It got worse. In 1941, the Nazis arrived. On their way out, the retreating Soviets massacred over 500 prisoners in the Dubno prison. In July 1941, the Nazis murdered 80 Jews in the local cemetery. A month later, they killed 900. In 1942, the Nazis established two ghettos in Dubno and then continued the killings. Between May and October, they murdered over 8,000 Jews. Some Jews were spared and sent into forced labor, but eventually succumbed to the unbearable conditions. The Nazi occupation lasted until February 1944. Around 300 Jews managed to survive the massacres. On the eve of the Nazi invasion, about 12,000 Jews had been living in Dubno. After the war, Dubno was given to Soviet Ukraine. On June 14, 1993, the Ukrainian government founded the State Historical and Cultural Preserve in Dubno. Included are several 18th and 19th century buildings, as well as the synagogue. In the 1990s, the few remaining Jewish families placed memorial plaques at the sites of the mass executions. They also obtained the status of architectural monument for the synagogue's building. By 2000, only about 10 Jews remained in Dubno. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baeger. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
Хлопчик, що носить короткий чубчик і мріє про мир у домі, а треба то стане в окоп обороні. Утроп це школярка юна, окутана стягом жовто-блакитним, горять у неї очі, як веде маскувальну сітку до ночі. Укропці лагідна мати, що молиться до світання. Укропці суворий батько, що є патріотом рідного краю. Укропці бабуся старенька, що в'яже панчохи захиснику. Укропці дідо сивенький, збирає бояць серце частнику. Укропці ти, укропці я, Україна, укропі земля. Укропці я не по полю, бореться за свободу і волю. Укропці ти, укропці я, Україна, укропі земля. Укропці я не по полю, бореться за свободу і волю. Укропці козак польовий, втікає вражий сєпар, допоки не пізно, ховайся по скалю, допоки живий. Укроп голови не схилить, і навіть вистоїть смерть. Укропа рано накриє, та він все одно підніме свій меч. Укроп це ти, укроп це я, Україна, укропів земля. Укроп сіяний по полю, бореться за свободу і волю. Укроп це ти, укроп це я, Україна, укропів земля. Укроп сіяний по полю, бореться за свободу і волю. Народ єдиний, укроп то народ міцний, укроп ніколи не згине, укроп вічно живий, укроп то народ єдиний, укроп то народ міцний, укроп ніколи не згине, укроп вічно живий. Укроп це ти, укроп це я, Україна, укропів земля, укроп сіяний по полю, бореться за свободу і волю. Укроп це ти, укроп це я, Україна, укропів земля, укроп сіяний по полю, бореться за свободу і волю.
That was an ethno-rock group from Ukraine by the name of Haidamakia, and the song is called Ukrop, and that is a recent term. It refers to a pejorative term Russians recently came up with for freedom-loving Ukrainians, in particular those laying their lives on the line in defense of Ukrainian sovereignty. Ukrainians everywhere now consider the term a badge of honor. Coming up next is a song that dates back to the World War II era, the Povstansky era, and that refers to the UPA, the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, that was fighting both Nazis and Soviets until about the 1950s when the West sold them out. Here is Taras Chubai now with Lenta Zalentoyu.
Вечір вечоріє, повстанське серце б'є, а лента набої поспішно подає. Ах, лента за лентою набої подавай, країнський повстанче в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою набої подавай,
Танче, воюний, ступай. А Бог атакує і прийде, що сил. Юнак кулеметник їх правно косив. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Як сонце сходило, втомлений юнак, упав він ранений, упав він навзнак. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай.
До нього санітарка поспішно йде, в обличчя вдивляєсь, його пізнає. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подала, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Він в неї вдивляєсь, пече в грудях рана, біля кулемета дівчина молода. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. А ворог атакує в останній момент, наново заграв вже затихлий кулемет. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента, за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою не відступай.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Russian-backed militants continue to fire at Ukrainian army positions using weapons banned under the Minsk Agreement. The most active fighting has been seen around Shirokina, a village by the Azov Sea between Mariupol and the Russian border, and in several settlements near Donetsk. No soldiers were killed in the past 24 hours, although four were wounded. The intensity of the fighting and the nature of the enemy's weapons testifies to their deliberate tactic to disrupt, then accuse Ukrainian parties of breaking the truce. Meanwhile, Europe's OSCE security watchdog said that fighters of the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic militant group had removed six Grad multiple rocket launchers and four other self-propelled guns from their storage locations. Their report also noted that despite being given assurances by either side that the pullback of heavy weapons was completed, observers continued to record the movement of such weapons in forbidden areas, which runs contrary to the Minsk Agreement.
Fighting has increased considerably in Ukraine's east over the past few days. Here in the Luhansk region, residents are trying to survive as supplies run thin and the nearly constant shelling rattles nerves. Residents from militant-occupied Luhansk cross into the Ukraine-held side to gather supplies. They say prices have increased and life has gotten more difficult. We're starving out there. We have nothing to eat in the blockade. Food prices are outrageous and the pensions are stingy. We don't know how to live. Ukrainian soldiers man block posts near the ceasefire line, which separates Ukraine-held territory from that occupied by insurgent forces. They say attacks have increased since the May holidays. Soldiers have said the renewed fighting is a provocation and fear that a new offensive could be underway.
For the second time this week, Ukraine's port city of Odessa has been hit by an explosion. In the early hours of Thursday, an unknown assailant threw explosive materials into an underground well near the main office of the city's Railway Service Logistics Bureau. No one was hurt, according to Ukrainian media reports. Local security officials have reported that several minutes before the explosion, the electricity was turned off and cameras failed to register the whole incident. The latest blast comes following an explosion on Tuesday in the city, which hit a section of a railway track just before a train was due to pass through. Again, no injuries were reported. The incidents this week come amid a series of blasts across Ukrainian cities like Odessa, Kiev, and Kharkiv in recent months. Most of the attacks have targeted the offices of pro-Ukrainian volunteer organizations.
The Ukrainian front line near Donetsk airport, arguably the most dangerous place in the conflict zone. Some of the soldiers here in the trenches are the same ones that earned their reputation as cyborgs, a label given to them by one insurgent for the servicemen who, despite the overwhelming odds, defended the terminal and surrounding complex for a year from Russian proxy forces. Now the Ukrainian troops say militant forces continue to shell their moving tank columns, with heavy weapons prohibited under the terms of the Minsk Agreement. We were unable to film their military base. It's too strategically important. But nearby we saw tank engineers who risked their lives to perform a taxi service for troops to the front line under the nose of opposing forces. These fighters say they are proud to help in preventing further militant advances, but one said deployment so near Donetsk airport, where so many comrades died, is tough. I feel sad because a lot of people have been killed, and looking at the enemy beyond the front line is not very pleasant. The troops here are on alert 24 hours a day. Their positions here resemble a giant fortress. We must always be in control of the situation and be on alert. We're walking around at night, wearing thermal goggles, mining fields, and doing everything we can from saving our motherland. A reporter embedded with Ukrainian soldiers said, "This is the nearest point to the airport, which can even be seen with the naked eye, but we should be very careful doing this, because the frontline positions of the militants is placed 800 meters from here." As international diplomatic efforts are made to ensure the Minsk ceasefire deal is adhered to, the soldiers here will continue to defend the country in a conflict with no end in sight.
Two US aid workers held captive by Russian-backed militants in Donetsk have been freed and are in a healthy condition. Gunmen raided the offices of the International Rescue Committee and detained 37 staff members on April the 29th on suspicion of spying, reports the BBC. The majority were released within 24 hours. The IRC's president and former UK politician David Miliband was quoted by the BBC as saying, "The actions taken by the security forces of the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic, including the intimidation of our dedicated humanitarian staff, are an affront to those principles of the IRC. Every day, the world's humanitarian workers show great courage, taking risks to help the most vulnerable in crisis situations. They should never be targeted." In response to the raid, several foreign members of staff fled, and the NGO was forced to suspend work within Ukraine.
Canadian Foreign Minister Rob Nicholson says his country will continue to support Ukraine in the face of what he called Russian aggression. Nicholson made the remarks after meeting Ukrainian Prime Minister Arseniy Yatsenyuk during a visit to Ukraine's capital.
"I cannot overemphasize Canada's opposition to Russia's aggression against Ukraine. The Minsk agreement deserves our support, but Russia has shown that it simply cannot be trusted to fulfill its commitments."
Nicholson also pledged more than $30 million U.S. dollars in humanitarian assistance.
"This package includes $5 million to enhance Ukraine's border security by training those who defend the borders and equip them with the tools they need to do the job. And it also includes up to $30 million in support for small and medium-sized enterprises in Ukraine through economic development and the provision of tools to business owners."
Violence in eastern Ukraine has fallen since a peace deal was struck in Minsk in February, but both Ukraine and Russian-backed forces accuse the other side of violations, and casualties are reported almost daily. Three Ukrainian servicemen were killed and one was wounded in occupied eastern territories over the past 24 hours, Ukraine's military said on Tuesday. A report by assassinated Russian opposition leader Boris Nemtsov has been released, revealing details about Russia's military role in Ukraine. Nemtsov was killed near the Kremlin in February, just as he was completing the report about Russia's invasion of Ukraine, titled Putin War. The report was completed by his friends and colleagues, and the findings are apparently only a small part of what is yet to be revealed. The key passages in the report detail revelations about the clandestine nature of Russia's hybrid war in Ukraine. At least 150 soldiers were killed in Ukraine in August 2014, the report states, with families of the troops paid 2 million rubles each to keep quiet about what happened. Approximately 70 Russian soldiers were killed while fighting for the Ukrainian railroad hub town of Debaltseve earlier this year, and the report says that their relatives contacted Nemtsov about the deaths because the Russian government was not compensating them. Co-author of the report, Russian economist Sergei Alexashenko, said the Russian government spent 56 billion rubles or 1 billion euros financing the war in Ukraine.
In Ukraine's small western town of Skola, a man has stumbled upon a mass grave. Upon initial inspection, Ukrainian authorities say that these are the remains of at least 30 people who were either members or followers of the Nationalist Ukrainian Insurgent Army and who were executed by the Soviet secret police. A worker at the site said,
"We discovered a skull, and on top of the skull is the femur bone of another person. Under the skull are the remains of another person's hand. This suggests that the remains of the bodies were thrown into this pit in haste."
Hundreds of skeletons have been uncovered in Ukraine's western regions in recent years. A government-funded group called Destiny, which handles the recovery and reburial of the remains of World War II and World War I Ukrainian fighters, says that over 1,500 remains have been uncovered and reburied. The group's director commented on the latest mass grave discovery.
"This is one of the most recent places where this number of remains has been found. Before this, certainly they found fighters from the Ukrainian Insurgent Army. There were several fighters from the Ukrainian Insurgent Army, but here we have almost 30 remains, and a thorough investigation might show more."
The newly founded remains are a reminder of Ukraine's complex history, which often stirs heated debate. Most often at issue is the role of Soviet troops and questions surrounding their part in the killing of members of Ukraine's nationalist militants.
The men and women who took part in Ukraine's pro-EU protest last year have joined the ranks of saints at a church in the country's western city of Lviv. Students from the National Academy of Arts painted the participants of the movement, known as the Maidan, on the walls of a Ukrainian Greek Catholic church. Ukrainian soldiers, a medic, and protesters are depicted with aureolas around their heads, holding guns, shields, and Molotov cocktails. On the opposite side from the church entrance are images said to depict the sinners, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, Russian President Vladimir Putin, a Russian soldier, and an Eastern Ukrainian pro-Russian rebel fighter. The church's priest explained the message behind the artworks. He said, "The aim is purely informative and historical, so that when children who are 5 or 6 years old now and are running around here grow up, they will come and see that there was a war between Moscow and Ukraine in those years, 2014 to 2015, and with God's help, it will end this year." People from the congregation also praised the idea. This churchgoer said, "Little attention was given to the deeds of ordinary people who deserve indeed to be among the saints, because they sacrificed their lives. There could be nothing more important than to give your life. That's why I think it's a very good idea." Pro-Western protests, which sprang up in Ukraine's capital in 2014, ousted former pro-Kremlin president Viktor Yanukovych. Russia later annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula, and Russian-backed militants rebelled in the east, triggering a conflict which continues to this day and in which more than 6,000 people have been killed. Dnipro Dnipropetrovsk coach Myron Markevich received a standing ovation as he came in for his post-match interview. His side defeated Napoli 1-0 on Thursday night in what was nothing less than a major European upset. Markevich dedicated the win to the entire country, saying that it needed the victory because of the conflict with Russian-backed militants in East Ukraine.
He said, "Today this victory was needed by Ukraine first of all, and in general today we played for ordinary people who are unfortunately in a state of war, and our people are dying every day, and those boys who are fighting in the east of Ukraine may have been watching football, and we have certainly played for them as well." Dnipro have never won the Ukrainian league and have had to play all their home games in capital Kyiv because their own home city, Dnipropetrovsk, is located near to the conflict zone in eastern Ukraine. The win against Napoli means they will face Europa League title holders Sevilla in the May 27th final in Warsaw. Markievicz said, "Certainly the final is a final, and we will play against a team which won it last year. There are no doubts that the team is strong. We will prepare for this game, and at least we will play good football." Dnipro went through courtesy of a header from striker Yevhen Seleznov, who put them 1-0 up in the 58th minute. Tenacious defending ensured they kept a clean sheet and booked their place in the final.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv. Up next, a contemporary song about the current state of war in Ukraine today. It is called Skoro Stryl Kufajka, Rapid Fire.
Скоро стріл куфайка і з тризубом шапка ватралісова. Даруй, Боже, моїй Україні вільні права. Даруй, Боже, моїй Україні вільні права. Скоро стріл куфайка і з тризубом шапка і нічна зоря, побратима мого зачепила, куля вражая, побратима мого зачепила, куля вражая, він лежить на листі пізньою весною, і нічна зоря. Його поховаю рядом з ялиною в Атрадоря. Його поховаю рядом з ялиною в Атрадоря. Взяти у шерену стати, скаже, що то ви, і підемо волю здобувати Україні мої, і підемо волю здобувати Україні мої, нічка темна і ліс темний. На шляху чота, і ніхто не знає, що тут спочиває партизан УПА, і ніхто не знає, що тут спочиває партизан УПА. Скоро стріну файка і з тризубом шапка ватра лісова. Побратима мого зачепила, куля вражая. Побратима мого зачепила, куля вражая.
On Tuesday, May 12th, the Honorable Rob Nicholson, MP for Niagara Falls and the Minister of Foreign Affairs, held a media teleconference regarding his recent trip to Ukraine, which was made on the margins of this year's NATO Foreign Ministers meeting. In Ukraine, he met with government officials and civic society leaders and visited a Ukrainian military hospital. Here is his statement he made in that teleconference.
Well, good afternoon. I'm speaking to you from Antalya, Turkey, having just left Ukraine. My visit was intended to demonstrate that Canada's commitment to supporting Ukraine is as strong as ever, both in resisting Russian aggression and in achieving economic and democratic reforms. Let me begin by saying that I cannot overemphasize Canada's vehement opposition to Russia's aggression against Ukraine. The Minsk agreements deserve our support, but Russia has shown that it simply cannot be trusted to fulfill its commitments. Russia continues to build up its military presence just east of Ukraine near Mariupol. It exports propaganda at an industrial scale throughout the Russian-speaking world, yet affords no space for journalists to expose Putin's own personal corruption to Russians. Russia's state-owned enterprise, Putin's personal corporations, continue to attempt to meddle inside European affairs. And the crackdown on Crimean Tartars has intensified in the brutal aftermath of Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea. Canada will never recognize the annexation of Crimea. Neither will it recognize the proxies Russia acts through in eastern Ukraine. Pro-Russian rebels are Putin's forces. They are using Putin's weapons and equipment. They are directed by Putin's military cronies. And they are determined, like Putin, to destroy a united Ukraine. Putin is trying to intimidate Ukraine into submission, but Ukrainians will persist, and I believe they will prevail. Yesterday, I had the pleasure of meeting with President Poroshenko, Prime Minister Yatsenyuk, and Foreign Minister Klimkin. They all emphasized their determination not to let the current crisis prevent the government of Ukraine from taking the steps necessary towards economic and democratic reforms. Canada applauds Ukraine for moving expeditiously to implement a comprehensive set of microeconomic stabilization and structural reform measures. These reforms are critical to the stabilization of Ukraine's economy and the creation of conditions for longer-term investment and growth. Ultimately, the best response to Russia is for Ukraine to show its commitment to the path of reform and to develop its economy and democratic institutions to contrast against the cronyism of the Putin regime. Today, at a press conference in Kiev with Prime Minister Yatsenyuk, I announced additional Canadian support to Ukraine in determining its future as a secure, stable, and prosperous democracy. Canada will be supporting efforts to counter transnational organized crime, to support the development of small and medium-sized enterprises, and to strengthen nuclear security. The package includes $5 million to enhance Ukraine's border security by training those who defend the borders and equip them with the tools they need to do the job. It includes up to $30 million to support small and medium-sized enterprises in Ukraine through economic development and the provision of tools to business owners. This support is to the local entrepreneurs of Ukraine to seize their destiny from the hands of the oligarchs. It also includes $3.5 million to strengthen security and defensive measures at key nuclear energy stations in Ukraine and to prevent illicit trafficking of materials. In fact, just last month at London's pledging conference for the Chernobyl Shelter Fund, Canada committed $12 million. This money will assist in the completion of a permanent secure containment shelter over the Unit 4 reactor at the Chernobyl nuclear accident site. We stand with the international community to support Ukraine in shaping its future in defiance of the politics of Putin's Kremlin. Russia's actions in Ukraine are illegal and reprehensible, blunt and transparent. Still, they only serve to steal our common resolve. Thank you.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and in the Greater Vancouver listening area. Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial, and streaming online at chly.ca. Nash Holos now airs in international syndication on the PCJ Radio Network, broadcasting weekly on AM, FM, and shortwave radio to over 20 countries. Information and podcast links on PCJ Radio at www.pcjmedia.com. Channel 8 Omni airs two Ukrainian language TV shows in the Vancouver viewing area. Kontakt TV Sundays at 7 a.m. with repeats Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 7 a.m. And Forum TV Sundays at 8 a.m. with repeats on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 12 noon. And at 6 p.m. on Saturday evenings, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, or catch the live stream at am1320.com. And join me for another hour of fun on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, make sure to follow Nash Holos and me on Facebook and Twitter. And for audio archives, transcripts, podcast feeds, and more, visit our website at www.nashholos.com.
Сидельце маю, поїхав би за Дунай, дав би ціну знаю.
А я все люблюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все люблюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
А я все люблюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все люблюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
Як приїхав за Дунай на горбиці хата, старий дід, стара баба, ще й юка кирпата.
А я все люблюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все люблюся.
Де ж ти моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
Запросили в хагу, запросили сісти, поставили бараболю неуплену їсти.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
Загасили камець, полягали спати, я за свої запожитки та й тікати з хати.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
Через дим, через перелази, а діде мене тіпом-тіпом аж чотири рази.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
А я все дивлюся, де моя Маруся,
а я все дивлюся, де ж ти моя Маруся.
From a delightful CD recording of traditional Ukrainian folk songs, that was Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Kyiv with Marusya. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio at 6 p.m. Saturdays here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, live in Nanaimo Wednesdays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 101.7 FM, or streaming online at chly.ca. And our new international edition, which airs in over 20 countries on AM, FM, and shortwave radio on the PCJ Radio Network. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com. Among other things, you'll find the links there to all three podcasts. As well, make sure to follow us on Twitter and please like our Facebook page. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас цими словами мудрості. Хто ворогові піддається, той не матиме щастя. And our proverb of the week translates as, he who gives in to his enemy will never enjoy prosperity. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB. To take us to the end of our show, we've got the Ukrainian Connection and Glenn's Polka. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320, thanks for listening and Dobranich!